This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This is the besotted Pride of West London podcast, and we're back in the virtual joint. Been a bit busy this week, and probably a little bit gutted after Saturday didn't quite go according to plan. As you know, we lost to Brighton, our first league game of the season that we lost. Well, first game of the season that we lost, and we sort of had to sort of try and get over it. Sort of kind of a very strange feeling getting over a loss, because it's been quite a while since we've actually seen a loss in the flesh. My name's Billy Grant, and I'm, like I said to you, I'm sitting here in the virtual joint with my chums. Laney is in the house. Laney, how are you?
Good afternoon. Yes, I'm very good, actually. I wasn't feeling the deflate. It's not very nice, is it? I thought it was going to last forever, but this it shows you in the Premier League you've got to wait a week to put it right. In the Championship, you know, you fart and it's game time again. So I watched some championship games last night, and there's some more tonight, and they're already trying to put defeats behind them from the weekend. So yeah, it's Wolves is an important one, mate.
Yeah, nothing lasts forever. Like, I have to admit, actually, it's funny because if you looked around, I think it just shows to show you can never take the Premier League team out of the Championship, really, can you? Like, you know, like us. And I was there watching Championship games, sort of going, I quite miss this. Like, you know, I watched the QPR game. I think quite a few Bees fans were watching the QPR game. And I have to admit, against Bournemouth, and I'm not overly keen on Bournemouth either at the moment now, but I thoroughly enjoyed that game, actually. It was quite blood and thunder, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was a decent match, but you kind of realise why the blood and thunder is. What they're trying to achieve. They're trying to achieve a place in the Premier, which is what we did. We did it last season. So yeah, it's good to observe, but it's kind of satisfactory to kind of sit back and kind of not bask in it, but kind of just be confident in the fact that we're a Premiership team. We just have to maintain that for next season.
Yeah, indeed. And listen, we've got the Liberal Nick in the house. Haven't been on the show for a while. The Liberal Nick, how are you?
I'm very good. This is my first Premier League experience, so I am really up for this, you know. Glad to have been shuffled back into a position.
I'm going to tell you something, Mel. The thing about it is that we actually did wait until today, Liberal Nick, because we knew that this would be your day to have a bit of a cabinet reshuffle. Okay, we had to move a few people left, a few people right, a few people were on holiday, a few people weren't on holiday. You know, they just got kicked out, like, you know. But Liberal Nick, you got brought back into the frame, and are you feeling good about it?
I am indeed. Yeah, moving up the charts, being afraid. But I just do want to pick you and Laney up on one point. What are you doing watching Championship football? It's no interest anymore. You know, we're a Premier League team. No interest.
I love it. I still love it. I think it's great.
Gotta let it lie, Bill. Gotta let it lie.
Can't beat a bit of ELL.
That's right. Especially you can't beat a bit of QPR and not be able to put the ball in the back of the net in the last few minutes as well. So, but anyway, look, we've got a bit of a show on for you today. We're going to talk about, well, what we're going to talk about, we're going to talk about, well, the Brighton game at the weekend. We're going to have a look forward to the Wolves game. We've got the usual characters on board. We've got Will the Spreadsheet Winker. We've got JB as well doing his stuff. And also we've got Rick as well from Wolves. He goes the Wolves fan cast as well. And he's going to be giving us the lowdown on what's going down up in Wolverhampton, which we'll be going to on Saturday. But listen, first of all, I'll tell you something. Let's have a little look around what's going on. I mean, what's been going down, Laney? Do you know your place, Laney? Do you know your place?
Well, I've been told that I've got no right to comment on other teams. When we were sort of a little bit, not embarrassed, but we were told that we weren't allowed to talk about the Arsenal game or bang on about it the week afterwards. It seems that that's a bit catching. I think people or fans of certain clubs don't like to be told or don't like the opinions of people that they, or people, fans or employees of clubs that they don't think are worthy to express opinions. We saw that with Thomas Frank. He mentioned he was asked about Ronaldo, his return at 36 to Man United, and he kind of said, well, you know, he's probably not as good as he was 12 years ago, 13 years ago. And he got lambasted for saying that. Then obviously Gary Neville says exactly the same thing, and you know it's okay for him to say that.
It's interesting. I think one of the comments was Thomas Frank. He beats Arsenal and he thinks he's Bono. That's what one person said. And yeah. I just wondered, is Bono a football manager by any chance?
I don't get what that analogy means. You know, yeah, that's right. You know, yeah.
He's probably getting him confused for Roy Keane. You know, and then we saw that Ivan Toney's expressed some opinions of Arsenal this week, and again, it's kind of red rag to some balls,
so,
isn't
so
it?
So, what exactly did Ivan Toney say, Laney?
I think he was basically, well, paraphrasing. I think he was saying Arsenal are crap, or that they're not going to win anything this year. They're not the team they were. They're not going to win anything under Arteta, and they need a striker.
Ooh,
yes, well, that was probably the one. Oh, okay, yeah, we see what you're up to here, mate. You haven't got to be Sherlock, you know. That was the build up to they need to buy me, doesn't it? So he's kind of saying the next manager needs to buy me at Arsenal, and I will help them win something. But you know, I've got five or six Arsenal authors that write for me, and they all say exactly the same thing as Ivan Toney said. So you know, one lot are fans and writers, and one's a pro footballer. I think they're both able to express their own opinions without sort of being sort of lambasted or pointed at to know your place, as it were.
So I've got a question because this is quite an important question, because what we've noticed is that obviously we've been in the Championship for a while. Was it 7 years or whatever it was? We were there for quite a while, and we were in the lower reaches for I think infinity minus one or something like that, you know.
So minus two.
Okay, that's right. And we were known down there, and we were respected down there. I suppose whatever we said just goes. But all of a sudden, we've come into the Premier League. We've said a few things. We've said things as a podcast, and the other podcast people, other people weren't happy when we mentioned, you know, we talked about the Arsenal game. They weren't happy about that. Obviously, Thomas Frank, Ivan Toney have talked about things, and people have said to him, what they're talking about. How can Brentford say this? They're not allowed to talk about it. So how long, or what do you need to do, or where do you need to be before you can actually say anything liberal?
I think you need to have at least 30 years experience in the first division. You need to have won the European Cup, first division or Premier League. Because there was life before the Premier League. I have to remember this. Bit of respect, bit of knowledge. You have to have won the European Championship, the European Cup at least once. You have to have won the FA Cup on several occasions, and if you win the Mickey Mouse League Cup, well, that probably gives you a chance to be second in line with your opinions. No, I mean, you know, the Premier League is a big boys club. It has 20 members. Thomas Frank is as entitled to his view as Steve Bruce is entitled to his. There is absolutely no doubt at all that Thomas Frank is one of the better educated footballing managers in the Premier League at the moment. And when it comes to his coaching ability and his man management, I would take Thomas over the majority of the Premier League managers. Probably at the very top, you can't say that Guardiola isn't a good head coach and manager and man manager. You can't say that Thomas Tuchel is the same. But, you know, Thomas Frank is up there amongst one of the best man managers and tactical managers in the Premier League. And I think we ought to, you know, people ought to listen to what he has to say.
Your thoughts on that? Because obviously, I mean, I'm a bit of kind of, not to say dumbfounded about it, but I'm a little bit almost like, I'm not quite sure when or what to say at the moment, no, because you know, this is a new league for us, and I mean, how do we play this?
Well, I mean, you know, it's one of my sayings, isn't it? We don't need anyone's permission to enjoy ourselves. We don't need anyone's permission to share what we think. You know, Nick alluded to it really, that our football journey from the bottom division to the top division is exceptional. We've learnt along the way, and I'd say we probably know more about football in the 360 degreeness of the game and the modern game, and than people that have just been exposed to the Premier League. You know, we know about the Prem. We've watched it week in, week out. We're knowledgeable fans. We're able to express that. I think it's a case of you know, people should listen to what's being said, not who's saying it, really. And if at the end of whoever saying it, it's gobbledygook, then criticise them. But it's if at the end of what's been said, you think, yeah, that's a fair point, then, you know, they're entitled to say it, whether it's, you know, whether it is, as Nick said, whether it is Steve Bruce or whether it is, Solskjaer or whether it's whoever, you know, they're Premiership managers, and they should be given the respect that their achievements deserve.
I tell you what's actually interesting, I heard, and this is well on the street, but this is actually quite true, is that we're going to be experienced also, might not know your place, but we're going to be experiencing interesting I'll say body language, but from some of our rivals, because when some of the bigger clubs come in, you know, maybe sort of like maybe your Liverpools or your Man Uniteds or your Man Cities, you know, we've got a way about doing things. But apparently, you know, from what I've heard, it's going to be that I think a few of them call the shots when it comes to, you know, what happens and where they go and what they can do. It's almost like, even though it's your home ground, maybe it's not, maybe you don't necessarily have full control over what's going on down there. Because again, you know, because these teams have been around for so long, they were saying, this is what we do, this is how we do it, and if you don't like it, it's tough, which is quite interesting, because obviously we don't know our place.
Hang on. Are you saying that teams come into our home stadium and dictate how they will arrive, how, you know, how many people can talk to them, whether they get pizza with olives on or whether they get pizza with mozzarella on? I mean, you know.
This is, again, I'm speaking to some of my chums from other teams who have got ins with the people up there. This is what I've been told. Yes, again, I mean, you've given a few examples there, but there's definitely a case of we do what we want. And so it's going to be quite interesting when these bigger teams come down to Brentford, because
as long as they take their shoes off when they come in through the front door, I don't mind.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that's a good way of Brentford. You know, we've got to be confident. We do things differently to most other clubs, and why should we conform in terms of expressing an opinion? You know, a lot of teams strive to be as well run as us, and you know, and the people at the top, they don't have to know their place. You know, it'd be interesting on Saturday, because you know Bruno Lage at Wolves, he's achieved absolutely nothing in the English game, but he's technically at a bigger club. Is you know, Thomas Frank's achieve more, so surely he's a, you know, if you're going to play it like that, then you know his opinion counts more. But you know, that's not the way it is, isn't it? You don't prejudge people like that. You just got to listen to what they say, surely.
No, 100%. Listen, moving on, if you listen to the Weekend Review podcast, we've got a new podcast on Sundays, the Weekend Review, very short, concise. We talk about the game at the weekend, and I brought up my stinker as well, you know, which I said the stinker of the weekend for me I talked about the fact that the stewards are actually making people sit down in the West Stand, which is not cricket, as they say. Well, it's not cricket at all, because it's actually football. And as anyone will know, the West Stand is an area where it was basically meant to be the standing area, even though officially you can't be called the standing area. But the seats were stolen, the fact that it was going to be much more lively in that section than other sections. But we actually had stewards who actually... telling people to sit down and getting them to sit down, and even people around me and sitting next to me were being told to sit down, which wasn't the one. Now, like I said to you, you know, Bias, we're chatting to them, and I think Bias is going to be sort of raising this with the club as well. But, you know, again, we mentioned it briefly on Sunday, Mumi Laney and the Radders, man. But I mean, it's... Listen, I'm not into this whole kind of slagging the club off and criticising, because I think that in the very early days you still are going to get a lot of kind of teething problems, and I'm liking to think that this is a teething problem that they're going through, and it needs to be sorted out, don't you, Laney?
Sorry, it seems like we're having a different teething problem every week at the moment. You know, the turnstile ones, the tech one, I think you've got to give them the benefit of the doubt there. The telling people to sit down is something that's been instructed from above. So, you know, the stewards don't just take it upon themselves to do that. They've been told to walk around, point at people individually, and tell whole rows of people to sit down. And I say that's out of order, actually, and not in the spirit of the West End.
It's definitely not what was hinted at and was discussed before we actually moved into Lionel Road and when we bought our season tickets for it. So it is something that does need to be sorted out ASAP.
Definitely. And also, and again, the other stinker I brought up is the away fans not getting beer in the away end. The Brighton fans didn't get any beer, the Arsenal fans didn't get any beer. I mean, the Arsenal fans are really unhappy. The Brighton fans are really happy in the end, of course, because they won. But you think the idea is that, you know, if we went down to Brighton and they decided not to serve us, I mean, I don't drink in the grounds anyway, so for me it doesn't matter, but I'm thinking about other fans here myself. And if we went to Brighton and Brentford fans weren't allowed to get beer, I think that's a bit not on. And especially as they always go out, they wear the Brentford shirts, they put the signs up saying, thanks for coming down, Brentford, and they serve us. They even get London Pride in and they serve that for us. So I think that, you know, do as you want to others as you want to be done to yourself, as they say, innit?
Yeah, I agree. It's a slightly odd quirk in policy, and I think it does need a rethink. You know, we spoke, you know, saying the reason for it at Griffin Park was the fact that the away end wasn't quite big enough. There wasn't enough toilets. There wasn't enough sort of catering space to kind of do all of that. It was bottlenecks. I mean, are we? Is it something to do with that? Is the away end not quite big enough? I haven't been round there. Another rethink is needed then.
Yeah, it's because it's fan behaviour, and like I said to you, it's about fan behaviour, and fans behave better if they haven't got beer, apparently. But I think that, you know, this is a conversation that could go on for a very, very, very long time, and I don't think we've got time for this at the moment now. But I think we need to have a bit of a rethink about that one as a club. We as Besotted have actually sort of contacted the club about it, and we said, look, and listen, you know, it's early days, we understand, but let's look out for our opposition. If we're going to do them, let's do them on equal measures. You know, at the end of the day, them singing hopefully raises the home crowd as well. So as far as I'm concerned, you know, I'd like the opposition to get the same thing as we would like to get when we go to their ground as well. Just one last thing, Laney, anyone for tennis? I was feeling that tennis match, and
absolutely no interest.
I know the liberal Nick, that would be right up your street, that tennis. He was probably sitting there with a glass of Pimm's and all sorts.
Absolutely, and waving my Union Jack and saying, good on you, Emma. Fantastic result that was. You know, right. Best sporting performance of the year.
Indeed it is as well, though. Good. I must admit, I stayed up for that. It was after the game on Saturday as well, which perked me up after losing to Brighton. And I thought, she's very good. And roll on. The next one, whenever it is, you know, probably gutted. You know, Wimbledon, might have to even watch Wimbledon next year for the first time in a long time. Steady on. Anyway, I'm not talking about AFC Wimbledon either. But anyway, we are going to take a little break, have a little drink, come back, and we're going to talk about the Brighton. So, Brentford 0, Brighton 1. Saturday, we talked about it a lot over the weekend in the pub. We talked about it a lot in the weekend review podcast. You can check that on prideofwest.london. There was me, there was Laney, and there was Radders in the house having a soft, sharp discussion on what went down there as well. And like I said to you, there's a number of points came out of that as well. But the interesting thing as well is that, you know, when you talk about it 24 hours later, it's very, very different sometimes to how it feels immediately after the game. So what we're going to do is we're going to go back to listen to what the fans had to say immediately after the game, both Brentford and Brighton fans, after the match.
You've got to take your chances. You know, they proved that. You've got too many good players in this division to give chances away and not take your own. You know, probably should have closed them down quicker for the goal, for sure, but we should have been two or three clear by then. And there's a lesson that we've got to start scoring our goals. Overall, we played well, we matched them. You know, if there's a team that have won three out of four.
I think we created a lot of chances in the first half. Most of them came to Buemo. I mean, you know, there's only really one shot on target, I think, from us. You know, we kept them at bay. We kept them at bay for a long, long period to that half. In the second half, we kind of backed off a little bit with 15 to go. And I think they just had their tails up. And they're just a little bit more, I don't know, sort of class in front of goal, I think. They've got a few players they can score. We know about Mope. Trossard took his goal very well. They've got some good forward players. I think we just lacked very slightly. Another time, that'll be a draw.
And you could see them running out of steam, especially the attacking players. This is such hard work for us in this division. We've been playing amazing, but it's obviously been such hard work, and I think they have just run out of that steam. I think maybe tactically we're a little bit negative towards the end and we settled for the draw, which I could totally understand, but I think this is really a lesson for us in the Premier League, that is, you can't have 15 chances and not score one, because they're going to get one against you. And It's been a great match to watch, and they've done really, really well. But I think it's a lesson. It's a lesson.
I thought they'd given up halfway through the second half, Brighton. It didn't look like they wanted a win. Apart from Trossard, was their only player creating that one single chance. Other than that, Brentford's tackling was amazing, but he just cut across the box. We dropped. After about 75 minutes, just the energy levels dropped, I think. We made the substitutions, but somehow the energy still didn't seem to get up back to where it was, especially after Baptiste went off. I thought Baptiste did a great job.
It's a lesson in taking your chances. I think if Brian had put away one of those in the first half, that game was ours for the taking. I think Norgaard was at his best today, and I always think when Norgaard plays well, Brentford played well. We just weren't quite there today. We're close, but not at our best today.
I thought we had four good chances, and it's just a bit disappointing that you know, they didn't look that great to me, and then they just like... It was a good goal that they scored, but really I think we'll be very disappointed, and I think it just goes to show that in this league you've got to really take your chances.
You probably had the better chances in the game. We weren't really in the game at all. First 10-15 we were okay. After that, pretty poor, to be fair. And then I think I wouldn't say it was a smash and grab, but I'll say it was just a nick at the end, really. That was it.
We just didn't have there was nobody with a big spark today. But yeah, I agree with you. 3 points on next week at Molineux. We'll all be laughing.
So there you have it, Bees and Brighton fans after the match. And I tell you something, the one thing actually that came out from that and listening to that and going around, I chat to quite a lot of people. It's funny because normally when you do a post-match podcast, when you've lost... you literally can't find anyone to talk to. No one wants to talk to you. So normally they're sort of quite short, like, you know. But that one, it was funny because everyone seemed to want to vent off and just say what they thought. And they were, in general, they were sort of quite positive, a bit gutted and a bit positive. So that was quite interesting. So it was sort of slightly longer from that extent. But then all of a sudden we bumped into some Brighton fans in the boozer as well. And they really wanted to chat as well. And you couldn't stop them. And the one thing I noticed is that they were actually really quite complimentary of Brentford. And they, in effect, they're saying, you won't go down. You're having a go. You're doing the right things. We were lucky. You know, that's what happens in the Premier League if you don't take your chances. And I know we've been saying it a lot, but it's quite interesting hearing it from a rival club, fans of a rival club, and people that have been there and seen it and done it. Wasn't it, Laney?
Yeah, and I've just, you know, I just chopped up the audio for those sound bites you've just heard, and there was a, you know, it was all of the, pretty much everywhere echoed the same points: chances missed, lack of energy in the final 15, learning curve, and it is really important to listen to away fans and fans that have got experience of surviving in the Prem, and I think. I've got a slight feeling, and I hope I'm right, that when we got to the Championship, we thought, hold on a minute, this isn't as quite as tough as we thought. It's almost like sometimes getting to that division is the really hard bit, you know, getting out of the one below, the competition, the intense fight week in, week out to get the results that get you across the line. There's only like two automatic and a playoff place to get into that division above. And once you've acclimatized to it a bit, you think, oh, actually we can relax. And I'm not saying we can relax, because I think that would be foolish, but the important thing is that we've competed in every single match. We haven't looked for one minute, I don't think, like we're in the wrong division, we're out of our depth, we are not a Premiership football club. And now there's a long way to go, and part of me is like, and this is only me as a fan, this isn't, I know the club aren't thinking like this, you know, it's kind of like slowly don't mug yourself off, don't get too, not above yourself, not knowing your place like we talked about earlier, not that, but let's not end up with egg on our faces by saying, oh, look at us, you know, we're the real deal, we're here for years now. There's nothing I've seen so far that makes me think that we aren't going to be here next season. And after the many years that I've watched Premiership football on TV, I've seen loads of worse teams than us every season that survive, let alone get relegated. So if we can just keep up the standards we've set, I think we're going to be okay. And I think that comes across from listening to those Brighton fans. They've known how bad they've been at times the last couple of seasons, and they've survived. So their barometer is one we also take the measurements from.
Liberal Nick, I'm just wondering, because obviously me and Lainey, we did the podcast on Sunday and we gave our main takeaways. But I'm wondering, what is your main takeaway from that match at the weekend?
You've got to take your chances in this league. You need to be ruthless. We had four or five good chances. We had four or five chances, of which probably three were good. You've got to take one of them. I mean, Ivan was aiming to score another audacious goal almost from the halfway line. If that had got in, it would have been, you know, it would have rivaled anything. Do you remember in the Championship playoff final, he almost scored a goal like he attempted on Saturday, which didn't go in. But no, going back to it, you've just got to be ruthless. We can't afford not to take a chance, and got to be playing for 90 plus minutes as well. That's the other thing. I felt that come the substitutions, the quality slightly dropped, possibly the energy slightly dropped as well. You can't start playing out for a draw. You can't sort of just try to keep holding it tight. You've got to go for it. You've got to be ruthless in the Premier League. And that's, you know, that's a streak that we need to start installing in ourselves and in the team. Otherwise, might be skirting around with relegation problems if we don't do that. But on the whole, as I said, this has been my first Premier League podcast. And on the whole, I've been pretty impressed by the way that the team has been playing. I don't think that we have got, I don't think we've been overawed by being in the league at all. I think some teams that come up into the Premier League do get a bit worried. And put it this way, I'd far rather be a Brentford fan at the moment than a Norwich fan.
Yeah, Liberal, I mean, it's interesting you say that. And Laney as well, he's mentioned the fact, you know, we've got to take our chances. But the reality is, I mean, again, it's similar, like, you know, we talked about the Arsenal game, and the Arsenal, you know, they had 22 chances, but most of their chances were from outside the box. They were sort of like minus, you know, less than 10%, a lot of them. You know, the Brentford chances, other than the Mbeumo chance that he had on, I think it's 24 minutes, which is 26%, so one in four of those recorded have gone in the back of the net. All the other chances we had, even though they looked great and they were good, they were actually sort of low quality. Doesn't mean that they couldn't have scored, like in Bremer when he, you know, just before half time, you know, that was 6%. You know, he had another chance as well, which was, I don't know, I think it was even less than that. It was on 24 minutes, which was actually 4% from outside the area. And the Ivan Toney chance that he had, which is a brilliant chance. And obviously, if he'd scored it, it just goes to show you the skill and how he did it. 1 in 100 of those that I've recorded actually go in the back of the net. So even though it was very close, what I'm trying to say to you is that we weren't creating big chances, and you know, our XG was only 0.5, you know, which wasn't great. So I know it's not all about stats, because you take those chances and the game changes. But what I think I'm saying is that we are, over the last few games, have been creating a lot less. Our defence has been really good. Brighton created almost nothing. They had one chance. You know, their XG was like 0.18, I think it was. And that was pretty much through one chance. So we're being very tight. But I'm wondering also, is it because we are being so tight, it was also limiting the amount of chances that we are creating, because we're almost like we're going defence first? Without being a defensive team, we're going defence first. Does that make sense, Lainey?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, 100%. We are kind of finding our way, and I think that it's not conceding goals, not giving away stupid goals, keeping yourself in a game, and not, trying not to go behind. I mean, it was the first time we've gone behind in a game, and there was no time to come back. It'll be interesting if we do go behind a lot earlier, you know, early in the first half, and see how we cope with that. We didn't really get a chance to learn anything about our sort of bounce back ability at this level. I just don't think we ought to. There's no reason after four games to doubt ourselves in our chance creation, our quality chance creation. And although strikers, you know, Mbeumo particularly had a bit of an off day, we've seen him score those goals lots, you know. It's almost like a trademark of his that he cuts inside, curls it in with his left. It has to be a learning curve, and it's, again, cliche, but hey, you know, it's a fact.
The Liberal, this was the first game I've seen in a while for Brentford where I actually thought that we lost possession quite a bit. We gave the ball away, and the one thing I noticed in the few of the games, I was thinking, oh, you know, we're holding on to the ball. We're not giving the ball away needlessly in the midfield. But in this game, I thought that we did do. Did you notice that?
It stood out a bit. I mean, although that was slightly unfair on somebody like Shandon Baptiste, who, playing his first game in the Premier League, did really well, actually, I thought, for us. Didn't look out of place and came in well.
Ball stick to his feet. He was unbelievable. Ball did stick to his feet. I thought it was when he was going through, I was thinking, how is that ball sticking to his feet? You know, but in other areas, I thought we were losing the ball.
But can I just come back up to this point about goal scoring? I mean, you know, you do need to take the chances in this league, however small they might be. And I'm not saying he shouldn't start the next game or anything, but my slight concern is that you referred earlier in the introduction to watching Championship games. Championship is you've got more games in the Championship, and if you're not scoring goals, you've got perhaps two or three games to play around with the team, play around with the tactics to make sure that you get back into goal scoring form. In the Premier League, you've only got 38 games a season. You haven't got time to carry anybody. You haven't got time for people to play themselves back into form. You haven't got time for players to start scoring goals. They need to be on the ball every week. And banging them in. And that's my slight worry, is that sometimes it's the same. Some people say that Thomas Frank sometimes makes his substitutions too late. You know, we can argue about that till the cows come home, whether it's late enough or not. But is he prepared to sometimes take the really hard decision, is that if you're not quite at it, and he'll see them in training, of course, and we don't, if you're not quite at it, sorry, got to be out and somebody in your place. It's a very fine line, and I'm absolutely not going to say that Brian should be dropped for the game on Saturday. But you know, our strikers, our attacking force, needs to start, make sure that they start scoring goals.
Okay, so the Liberal, I mean, you've brought up a point here, and I'm going to just ask you straight up then, you know, where would you go? I mean, I would have asked you for the Wolves game, but now that you've brought it up now, I'm going to ask you, where would you go for the game on Saturday? Where would you go for the future? Would you swap it out? Would you take a player out, put somebody else in? Would you, you know, more attacking options, different person in defence?
Defence is solid. Midfield, I would start Jensen if he's fit to start. I would definitely start Jensen because I think there is a bit of creation there. I would move
over who?
Over Baptiste.
Over who?
I would also move Norgaard slightly further up, so that he again has the chance to create the stuff. But I would actually still start with Brian and Ivan because I think, you know, they would do. But this has got to be, the force has got to be knocking on the door. And possibly if Brian, you know, if Brian, you can never take Ivan off the pitch. If Mbeumo isn't looking like scoring after, say, 55, 60 minutes, then I think you've got to give force a go and go two up top.
Lainey, have you got any thoughts on that cabinet reshuffle there?
Well, I've just heard from the Nadine Dorries of Besotted just there. That's right, anytime, mate. I mean, obviously I have got opinions, but I'm quite happy for Thomas Frank to kind of like shuffle the pack as he sees fit, and I think, you know, the form that Shandon Baptiste had pre-season was excellent. You know, the goal he scored at Old Trafford, he looked like he was ready for the challenge, and I think he is. And all the time Josh De Silva's not in the frame, I think it allows us to kind of experiment a little bit. I'm more concerned really about Jensen coming on and the lack of kind of real impact that he had. I do agree, Bill, you said something, you know, you've said it a couple of times about the fitness, and I don't think it's a problem with the fitness. I think we're as fit as fuck, but it's I don't think the intensity is anything that we've experienced, and I think it's very difficult as fans to kind of realise that there is no rest within that 90 minutes. And when you're bringing on players like Mads Rosleff, and he did nothing wrong, I just think you need to just be like literally bang on it, you know. And I don't think he has got that kind of Rico Henry pace, which is kind of what you're looking for from a wing back, unless we're going to, you know, change formation if we're going to go for a point and go to four at the back and really shut up shop. But if we're actually trying to push forward for a win, not really convinced that gives us enough dynamism, if I'm honest.
Would you start Frank the Tank?
Yeah, I mean, I would. I mean, he's, you know, he comes in, becomes with, you know, huge plaudits from people that have, you know, known better than we do at FCM. I just don't think he's, I don't think he's fit. I don't think he's match fit. Mm. So, you know, he spent less time on the floor this game, but I don't think we're privy to whether he's 90 minutes match fit. I'd suggest that he probably isn't.
And the one other person that I have difficulty seeing how you fit in is Rita. And I just wonder, you know, I can't quite see where he comes in and for who. And that's maybe my ignorance. But, you know, somebody like the Allard would tell me instantly who he could replace. But because actually I do, you know, what I've seen of him, I'm quite excited by. So I just wonder where he comes into this.
He's the pacey winger. He's the pacey winger, and I think that I think we've seen what he's like. I mean, he's quite keen. When you see him, it's like he's quite keen, and he's almost like trying a bit too hard when he's come on. So I think that he's one of the players where I think he needs to acclimatise to this new league. So I think that's why we haven't thrown him in straight away. And also, like I said to you, defensively, he needs a bit of work, you know. And as you know, Thomas Frank knows that you've got to be working on both sides. But he's obviously got the speed, And he's obviously really skillful. I mean, we saw him do a few things and he's like really, really skillful. So I think, you know, having a player can come on, even if it comes on after sort of 70 minutes and terrorises the bejesus out of people, is the kind of player that we need. So I think it's going to take a while to see what Wiese is going to be like. It's probably going to be after the second international break for sure, you know, probably even going into after the third international break, which is in November, and then maybe we'll see what he's like. I mean, Lainey, what's your thoughts on the Wiese?
Yeah, it's still, I mean, it's the same with Thomas the Tank Engine. It's really difficult to really know. We haven't seen enough of them and they haven't enough minutes in the first team as yet. You know, this is probably why, and I know we'll brush on the Oldham Caribou Cup game, you know, later on in the pod, but I think this is where both have to start. This is where we find out a little bit more about them. The only way they're going to really integrate and find out what they're capable of and how different and what extra they bring to the party is by giving them minutes on the pitch. And you know, at the moment, for whatever reason, they're not getting that. And I agree, Bill, I think Wiese is that wide left player, but he equally can play down the middle and play off of Ivan Toney as in a more central role. But again, he needs minutes.
Talking about Brighton, I mean, again in the weekend review we talked about the Brighton players that we thought did the business, and it's interesting because it came with a bit of a clean sweep. Bissouma for Brighton, who we actually thought was as a really good player. Now, I'm not saying that we should buy Bissouma at all, but I'm just wondering whether or not, do you think it's a case that Bissouma, for the time, because it didn't last for the full 90, but he was quite lively for quite a bit of it. Do you think it was just a case that he had a good game, or do you think it is a case that he actually is a good player, and you could see that if he was maybe in our side, something that he could do which was maybe different to some of the players that we have? I'm just wondering if it was a one-off moment, or did you see sort of a kind of a slight gulf in class with that one player? Because we did all talk about him.
I think he's not a gulf in class as such, but I think he is an exceptional player. You know, we in the last two games, we've seen like that Buendia and him and Bissouma, and Trossard. There are moments of brilliance that have cost us, and you know, you step off of them or you lunge in instead of, you know, your defence creaks for the one time in a game and you concede. But we're going to get that. This isn't the Championship where our defenders are literally too good for the forwards. Probably most games there's a forward that's probably too good for our defence in every game, and you have to be properly on it, and you snooze for a second, it's in the back of the net. We saw it at Villa, we saw it last minute on Saturday.
Trossard had one moment of quality, and that was the moment that he scored the goal. You know, he watching him on Saturday, you can tell why he starts for Belgium. He's a good, great player. But, you know, he had that one moment of quality and, you know, he scored the goal. And that's what we need to be getting to.
I'm going to ask the question, OK, about a player there who, talking about who played for England. What do you think of the Danny Welbeck?
I feel sorry for Danny Welbeck. I think he, you know, his career's been blighted a bit by injury, hasn't it? Welbeck strikes me as one of those characters who maybe thinks that he should be the lead man in the team. And, you know, how much of a team player he is, I don't know. He's been injured so often. I mean, you know, he should have been. He could and should have been an England regular by now. He is that skillful. But I just do wonder. I wonder about his attitude, is what I'm trying to say.
You weren't happy when he kicked off with you, Lainey?
No, I wasn't happy. But, you know, he's clearly frustrated by you know, the way things are panning out for him. It's sad to see, really. You know, he was class, wasn't he? And he still probably is on his day. But it's, you know, his days are, you know, few and far between, and it's probably, you know, there's nothing really he can do about it. And you can see it, you know, when he's probably thinking, oh God, you know, I should be doing better. I should be doing better. And you know, it's you know, getting subbed off when you're having a hissy fit, it's a little bit embarrassing. And I think, yeah, it wasn't his wasn't his best moment. It won't be appearing on his YouTube clips, will it?
Quite interesting that we saw Zaha doing the same thing at Palace.
But Zaha, he's kind of, you know, he's a different type of character. I think Zaha is, I wouldn't say he's on his way up, but, you know, obviously younger, and he has this sort of almost like controlled anger. I mean, like, he did it against Tottenham at the weekend, and did he end up getting somebody sent off or end up getting a penalty? He did something, and I think he ended up getting somebody sent off in the end, and I thought, God, that's so typical, because he acted like he did against us, but still managed to get someone sent off, and I think he got a penalty and he scored it in the end. So this slight difference in the way he did it was, I think, Welbeck was just pure frustration. And you can see that in him. And he's a player that actually I used to really like. I thought he was a great little player. But that was a bit of a shame moment. But
it was the fight. It was like the head to head. It was like two stags rutting, wasn't it? It was Tanganga, and he did. You know, it was a yellow card, and then he got sent off shortly afterwards.
That's right. But listen, anyway, look, we've talked enough about the Brighton game. We've got it off our chest. We weren't used to it, but we've got a little bit more used to it now. Tell you what, though, we're gonna get out to JB, because JB's got some facts and funk. And we were trying to work out when's the last time that Brentford lost a game that we were at. And we were at Luton, and that's the game that we were at last. But that was an away game, so not all Bees fans went to that. So JB, with his facts and funk, he's going to tell you exactly when's the last time we lost a game with fans at Griffin Park.
Are you ready for this? I told you it was coming. Who? JB. And he's ready to stock it to you one time. Get it.
Hello, Jonathan Birchall here again. So Brighton was our first league defeat of the season. It was only the third league defeat in our new home, the last of which was 2-0 to Barnsley back on Valentine's Day. But the last time we physically had to leave a ground after a defeat was when Nottingham Forest beat us 1-0 at Griffin Park, right back in January 2020. Now we're off to Wolves, who are one of only six teams who have played in all our original top flight seasons and will meet again this year. Arsenal, Chelsea, Everton, Leeds and Liverpool being the others. Ironically, we lost the away game to them in the four good seasons we had, and beat them in the fifth season, which saw us relegated. But we're still sitting in 10th place in the Premier League, which is higher than any of the sides promoted from the Championship in the last four seasons. We were Norwich twice, Fulham twice, Watford, West Brom, Leeds, Aston Villa, Sheffield United, Cardiff, and Wolves.
So there you go, JB with his facts and his funk. And that last game we lost at Griffin Park, I'm gonna ask you if you were actually, because I know you went out for a beer there, lads, and I don't know if you were listening to JB. Did you note which the game was that the last one we lost at Griffin Park? Do you remember that one, Laney?
Yes, I did. It was Nottingham Forest at home.
No, you cheat. You cheat.
Cheat. Cheat. Sorry. Cheat like
Nottingham Forest.
I remember that game. It seemed a massive, massive game. Mm. And it shows you how things have changed, doesn't it? You know, Forest at home now, it wouldn't, would it? So
I remember after that game, you were always slitting your wrists, lady.
I wasn't. There's no chance. Prove it in a court of law.
Well, Your Honour, I'll show you the bloodstained evidence.
When their goalie was playing, he was really winding us up, actually, wasn't he?
There were rude words coming out of your mouth, Mr. Grant. It was disgraceful.
He was really, really winding us up. And then they got that goal where we they just sat back, and then all of a sudden they went bang, 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 scored the goal at the back of the net, and then went in defence. In fact, to be fair, this is for the Will Allsop as well. That was the game when we were in effect, we were christened the spreadsheet wankers by the Forest fans, because before that game, I think all the Bees fans are saying, yeah, our XG is this, and not all the Bees fans, but the techie statty people were going, our XG is this, and your XG is like means that you should be in 18th place, and our XG should be like five places above first place or something like that, and it started some sort of kind of online war between the Bees fans and the Forest fans.
They've gnawed their own arms down to the elbow to be us now. So yeah, I'll take the spreadsheet wanker insult, and then I'll go whatever.
In the unlikely event any Forest fan is listening to this, let me point out that Brentford are currently 10th in the Premier League. Forest are on their way to getting relegated out of the Championship.
Oh, you bitch. So, you know. Bitch.
Oh. And I would say that I've got lots of Forest chums, so I'm not sitting down there and not poking at them, because at the end of the day, they do actually laugh now about the winker thing, and they do laugh. We do have a bit of a chuckle about it and just say, God, ooh, can you imagine those
Bill,
days?
Bill, ask them if they'll swap one of their stars for the Premier place in the Prem.
Mr. Lane, you bitch.
This doesn't come back and bite you in the bottom, Mr. Lane.
It was just a question.
It was a question. You're asking me to get the answer. I will call them later and see what they have to say about that. I did actually ask them about their star. And they were very happy, you know, that they didn't sell him to us. I don't know. It's just, I think it's one of those things where I suppose it depends where you're going, it depends where you're going as a team. It's not for us to say. And I know that if we had a player who we loved, we wouldn't want to sell him. And obviously a player who's homegrown. But saying that, when Chris Meppham, he only played about 30 odd games for us. And then when, you know, Bournemouth came in, we went, okay, fair enough. And we kind of, I think we knew our time and our place. We said, you should move on. Whereas all the Forest fans, like Brennan Johnson, you know, they said, oh, yeah, we did sell him to Brentford. It's great. And I was just thinking, well, you know, maybe if you sold him, you could. And I'm not saying it, telling you what to do. But if you bought four or five players, you know, to boost your team, you know, that could actually help you in the situation that you're at. Because at the end of the day, he's one player. And yes, he might take you to one level. But, you know, I think they need quite a few players to get them out of the predicament that they're in. But anyway, that's another conversation, isn't it? But listen, talking about spreadsheet winkers, we are going to go and talk about Wolves in a minute, because we've got spreadsheet winker and all sorts of characters on the other side of the break, and they're going to talk to us and tell us what's going down in Wolves. So, Saturday, we've got a game. It's on the television. It's not on Sky. It's actually on BT Sport. 12:30 kickoff, I believe is right. Brentford are going to Wolverhampton Wanderers, a place that we used to go to quite a lot. A place that we went to quite a lot in the First Division, and also we went there quite a lot in the Championship. So we know them well. They know us very well. And it's a bit of a, well, familiar away day for us. So looking forward to that. Tell you what, though. Wolves have been in the Premier League for a few years now, and I've got no idea what's going on. So we thought we'd go to Rick from the Wolves Fancast. He's giving us the lowdown on Wolverhampton Wanderers.
Hi, it's Rich from Wolves Fancast here. We are the longest running and the first independent Wolves podcast. There is starting back when, well, we were in the Premier League the first time, to be honest, about 11 years ago, and now there's quite a few knocking about. Really great to see all this fan run content. Over COVID, we've kind of tried to diversify, and we've been doing it the last couple of years as well, talking about subjects that we relate to, stuff that doesn't always get as much press as other things, and ones we really want to highlight that are important to us, like mental health, racism, football, and some even kind of just more light-hearted stuff like football films, because that's always a fun one to talk about. So yeah, lockdown was interesting for Wolves. I think it kind of opened up a few things about the club and a few flaws that were probably a bit hidden underneath with Nuno, and it really kind of came apparent last season. But it's good to be back playing in front of seeing the games with full stadiums. Yeah, it's been a while since Wolves have played Brentford. We had a bit of time together, sort of earlier in the 2010s, particularly that League One season when we both got promoted, and we were sort of a bit head and head for a large amount of that time. I remember, I think the first time we played you guys at home, it was a really, really strong competitive game, and I know it highlighted to me that Brentford weren't just a team who were in good form. They had a bit about them, which, you know, I think Leighton Orient did quite well that season before dropping up. They were just a team in good form, whereas Brentford showed a bit, and it's been great to see how they've pushed on in recent years, even if it's been a bit bridesmaid, but never a bride up until last season. You know, we've had some really kind of good fun games against Brentford. We had one in League One where we won 3-0. We also had that one in the Championship as well. I think we never scored a fantastic free kick, and, you know, again, we were working it really hard, and because Brentford are a good team. Even when we were in the Championship and we were a new Championship team, so to speak, they were still a difficult opponent and played interesting football and went about things differently. And I always find it fascinating to watch teams who are a bit more of a project than anything else. You know, have a way of trying to do things. I think that's what resonates with people about Wolves as well. But, you know, it's been fascinating since, you know, we were playing together back in those League One days, how the two clubs have gone about their business. You know, two very different ideologies, you could argue. But, yeah, as I say, it's been fantastic to sort of see how, you know, we've both ended up in the Premier League now together again. So hopefully it'll be a good game Saturday as well. I'm really, keen to sort of see what Brentford can do. As I say, they've always been a good team, playing in good football, interesting ideology behind the scenes as well, and very community-driven club as well. Where I say sort of ideology, and we can talk about the numbers and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But actually, you know, the heart of it, there's a really strong community value to it, and I think that's always important with a football club. I mean, with, what, four games into a league now, you'll have seen that actually there is still a level of anyone can beat anyone, you know, particularly outside that top six. There's points attainable, but you don't half get punished if you're not careful. And that, I used to just sort of not kind of believe it in a way with, you know, when you said the difference between sort of different tiers, but you, it's just so much more ruthless and clinical in the Premier League. You know, if you have that one defensive slip up, you are going to concede. It might not be the best to watch sometimes, but you can see why the likes of Burnley set their stalls out of not wanting to lose necessarily rather than going out to win, because if you're not on your A game defensively, you will get punished. And if it's a matchup of you trying to outscore your opponents, I hate to break it to you, it just doesn't happen, does it? Yeah, that's been the big thing I've noticed. Also, the amount of time, or lack thereof, you know, players get on the ball. Ruben Neves ran the show in the Championship. It's literally only taken him until now to grow and develop his game, to get the opportunities and the space he did 4 years ago. And, you know, whether that's through the opposition pressing him so he doesn't have much space, or, you know, players in opposition in different areas of the pitch cutting out those passing lanes that made him so deadly, that, you know, that raking ball over the top to a flying wing back, he wasn't able to play anymore because they were just smarter positionally. So those are the two things I've definitely picked up on. Wolves last season, it wasn't a great affair. The players looked run down. There was no pre-season. I think it was about 10 days between our game against Seville in the Europa League to the first game of the new season. So the players were laggy and they were almost going off muscle memory and knowing they had good players. But we started the season actually all right up until Jimenez's injury. Horrific as it was, but we didn't really have any adequate replacements because they liked this small squad. And we stayed relatively injury free, but it kind of all came to a point and all kind of fell downhill at that point. And Nuno seemed to run out of ideas. It seemed to be football by numbers for most of 2020 anyway. And there had been sort of cracks that started to form in different places. But it really came to a head the second half of the year, season even, when we looked weak at the back and uninspiring going forward. And, you know, still got a lot of love and respect for him. As you can imagine, you know, he's a manager who we got promoted with, who played some of our best football, had some of our biggest memories with. But at the same time, you can't hold on to that forever. as a football fan, and you need to know when to let go, so to speak. And I think the timing was right. I think everyone saved face just enough that not the entire fan base turned sour against him. Everyone sort of just about understood it. It seemed mutual enough. So, yeah. But at the same time, we still had some great moments. We still had some good wins. Players like Pedro Neto, who's unfortunately out injured this season, for the main part, really stepped up and showed what he's about as well. And even players like Max Kilman, who've been on periphery for a while, showed that he can be a competent Premier League defender as well. And he's pushed on this season as well. So last season, it was poor. It was boring, which is never a great sign when it comes to a football team. If it's dull and it's drab, football should be exciting. It should be fun. You should be wanting to want it. And it was a real hard thing to do for a large part of last season. You can blame COVID as much as you want, but I don't know. There's something deeper in that for me. The transfer window this season, sort of jumping off last season, we all knew we had a small squad, and large amounts of it hadn't been improved, to be honest, since we went up to the Premier League. Whether it was that Championship team or that first transfer window, we are still playing with a midfield two of Neves and Moutinho, which has never 100% clicked. Don't get me wrong, they're fantastic players. Me complaining about having Ruben Neves and João Moutinho as our midfield two, I appreciate, you know, there'll be very few violins out for me. But we've not looked at improving it that much, and the fact that we only have three centre midfielders with Dendoncker anyway needed improving. Same defensively, we had a lot of our players have been designed to fit in a three at the back system. And people being converted to play there. Connor Cody, traditionally a midfielder, now plays great in the middle of a back three, but he's converted. Seyssen Dendoncker play in a back three as well, but they also midfielders, and it was a little bit square pegs and round holes. So I was hoping for more numbers in midfield and more quality in defence. We didn't really get either, if we're being honest. However, we have recruited Hwang to give a bit more competition up front. We've recruited Trincao as well, who I think's going to be a real star player for Wolves on the right-hand side. Gives us a bit more guile to Adama Traoré's pure speed, power and aggression. So the transfer window wasn't 100%. I'd have liked to have seen another midfielder just from a numbers perspective, and I would have liked to have seen us take a step up in terms of defenders as well, just for an upgrade point of view, because we're at that point where we need to take that step up, and we've got quite a few really good squad players, but that doesn't mean they're great first 11 players, and we've kind of hit that point, and the club needs to unfortunately be a bit ruthless with some of these players who have been fantastic servants for the club, but the time might have come for some of these, in my opinion, which again pains me to say. As I sort of said, going to this season, I think we'll be expecting, and this game even, we'll probably be expecting a pretty consistent lineup from what we've seen the last couple of games. Jose Sarr, who joined on loan, bit of almost a merry-go-round goalkeepers with Patricio going, Sarr, another Portuguese goalie, surprise, surprise, coming in the next, essentially the next day. Back three will probably be Kilman, Cody, probably Sace. Don't think Bolly's back to full fitness yet. Wing backs in Marcel on the left, Semedo on the right. Neves has started the season fantastically. You look at his stats, I think in pretty much most games he's played, he's led the passing stats, but he's also led in the defensive tackling stats for midfielders as well. He is showing everything he's about at the moment. You're looking at the front line as well of Traoré, Jimenez and Trincao most likely. I can't see Hwang starting out of those ahead of those three just yet. Jimenez hasn't quite got off the mark this season, but you look at his injury he had less than a year ago. It's going to take him time, and I think all Wolves fans have got full faith in that happening. Traoré, if he could score, he would be a world beater, but unfortunately he doesn't score, so it might be one of those where Brentford are the lucky opponents where he finally finds his shooting boots. And as I mentioned, Trincao's a really tricky, fun player to watch. He seems to pick up the ball in great positions. He's got that positional awareness you expect from somebody from Barcelona. And hopefully he can really sort of kick on in this division. It's still a lot of work he needs to do in terms of building up a bit more strength, like we've seen with the likes of Neto in particular for Wolves. He's really kind of bulked up to match some of the physicality of this league, and I think Trincão's got everything about him to do that. In terms of where our weak points are, I would say potentially Sace, who plays left wing back, left centre half, just because, again, great servant. On his day, he can be a fantastic defender in a back three, but he can be a bit suspect, and that's where I think we can get poked at. Semedo on the right hand side, I like him, but he can sometimes just drift a little bit defensively, particularly towards the latter end of games last season we were finding. And he's also a bit frustrating going forward. We were used to Matt Doty the last couple of years, who'd be great at finishing, whereas Semedo's getting in those positions doesn't quite have the same clinical nature. In terms of how we play, we are really strong in possession at the moment with a lot of movement. There's a lot of creativity to try and manipulate space going forward. And defensively, it's about keeping it tight and steady at the back. But you'll see lots of movement from the two centre-halves on the left and the right of Cody to try and exploit additional space as well. And a little bit, I was going to say, total football pass and move as well, which is great to see. I'm really interested to see Ivan Toney play, obviously. You know, he's got a hatful of goals last season. So, you know, it's one of those where I'm kind of interested to sort of see if he can hit the ground running in the Premier League, because it's such a different kettle of fish. He does need to, you know, show what he can do, to be fair. I've got full faith in him as well, to be honest. In terms of a couple of other players, I enjoy the centre halves from Denmark, from Scandinavia. You've got Pontus Janssen, who did well at Leeds. I've sort of seen a bit of him. Interested to sort of see how he comes against some more trickier players that we've got. Trying to think of another player off the top of my head, because I say from what I've seen, there's a couple of really interesting players that you've got. Matthias Jensen as well, is someone who I've seen a couple of times as well. He seems to be a really good midfielder as well, so be interested to see how someone like him matches against Neves and Moutinho for me. Score prediction, I'm going to go for, you know what, I hate to say it because I like you guys, but I think it's going to be a 3-1 Wolves job. I think that now we've got off the mark, we've beaten Watford, we've found our goal scoring boots, I think we can find that clinical nature that we perhaps missed the first few games this season.
So there you go, Rick from the Wolves fancast. Good guy, Rick. We used to talk to him loads when we were in the first division and in the Championship, and then he left us and went on some sort of kind of journey to the Premier League. But now we're back again and we're going to meet on Saturday, so we'll see how that goes. Good little insight into Wolverhampton Wanderers there as well. I have to admit though, the little fear that I have with Wolverhampton is, and I keep saying this about the chance creation, about, you know, listen, maybe we're keeping it tight, maybe we know exactly what we're doing, but the thing is that Wolves, they're the exact opposite. They're creating loads of chances, loads of high quality chances, just not putting them in the back of the net. And Traore seems to be on fire, not quite on fire enough to score goals, and I'm a bit worried that the game that he will score in the end will be against us. We got Will, the spreadsheet winker, and he's going to give us the lowdown statistically on what's going down with Wolves.
Spreadsheet winker.
So, what are the two main things to look out for against Wolves? Firstly, they are this year's Brighton in the Premier League. Despite only having 3 points so far, Wolves have outcreated their opponents in all four of their games this season. They comfortably create more than 1.5 XG in a game, and have in fact created 8.56 XG so far this season, whilst only scoring 3 goals, comfortably the worst underperformance in the Premier League. Their strikers have struggled to convert excellent chances in the box into goals, and in their most recent game, a 2-0 win against Watford, despite winning on XG by 2.53 to 0.26, they only scored because of an own goal in the 73rd minute, and a huge 72% opportunity in the 83rd minute when Watford just sort of forgot how to defend. So, even with this 2-0 win, they missed 1.42 XG of massive chances in the box, about the same that Bees have created in the last two games put together. They've not solved their issue in front of goal just yet, and our defenders need to keep at them and make sure they keep missing these chances. Second, Bees might struggle to create against their defence a little bit. In 3 out of 4 games, the opposition to Wolves have created less than 1 XG. This is especially important because the Bees have created their lowest XG tally of the season against Brighton, only managing 0.48 XG in the match. And this is the least we've created in a league game since losing 2-0 to Coventry last season. I know, that was shit. And it included only one large chance in the box, and Bermo blazing over off a Tony Cross in the 26th minute. We'll probably need to do better against Wolves' attack in this match, where Brighton only created and scored from a tiny 0.08 XG chance. Wolves' attackers will easily create enough to score more than one goal. This for me is probably the toughest game so far this season. We're going to need to be on it in attack and in defence to keep those high XG chances going wide or being saved.
So there you go, Will Allsop, otherwise known as the Spreadsheet Winker, christened by the Nottingham Forest fans. Laney, the fear on Saturday, or just let's go up there and just do our thing?
We have to do our thing. We have to just be really focused and just not be swayed by anything. You know, Wolves are a decent team. You know, you mentioned Traore. He is the Premier League Akinfenwa. He's an absolute mountain of a bloke. You wouldn't want to mark him. With him running at you, it's an incredible. Scare the life out of anyone.
The bejesus.
Probably the bejesus. Yeah. But he's a player that a lot of other teams are looking at because he's more than just bulk. He's incredibly skillful, very fast for a big bloke, and he's got an incredible shot on him. So we're up against it. Not only that, you know, they've got you know, top European level players in every position. The thing that they haven't got is an experienced head coach at the moment. He's still trying to find a way of imposing his style. They create a lot of chances. They've not taken a lot of chances, and we have to hope that continues. But I don't think we change anything. Stay tight at the back, and play up. Just play our football. There's no reason for us to change anything.
Not at all. I mean, the Liberal, just to show you where they're about. Okay, so Wolves. Their strengths, they create chances through individual skill. Very good at that. They're very good at stealing the ball from the opposition. They're good at creating scoring chances, counter-attacks, protecting the lead, and also defending set pieces. Where they're weak at, though, is avoiding individual errors. And they're very weak at finishing and avoiding offside. You know, they normally go through the middle and down the right. They take a lot of shots. They normally play, you know what you're going to get with Wolves. They play with the same first 11 as well. They love the offside trap. And normally, their opponents are quite aggressive against them. I mean, does that kind of fill you with a little bit of trepidation?
The word counter-attacks worries me slightly, because given how well we've been pressing this season, I mean, our pressing game has been really impressive, the 3 games I've seen live. And I think that if you take your eye off the ball and let the counter-attacks develop, that could be our weakness if we're pressing too high up the pitch. Other than that, I agree with Laney. I mean, you know, they have got some quality. I'm looking forward to seeing Danny Rose, actually. I've always rated Danny Rose as a decent player, and he started for them last Saturday, and hopefully presumably will start for them again this Saturday as well. They've got some creative players, so have we. This is a good test, actually, because Wolves are what I would call one of the higher-ranking middle-table Premier League teams, if that makes sense. So I think this is a good test for us about where we stand going on away. We've got to be solid in the defence, stand up to those counter-attacking attacks. There will be lots of ball to feet, I suggest, as well. So, yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it. And it'll be a good test for us.
It's interesting, Laney, because the winker, believes that this is going to be our toughest game so far. And if you look at it, we keep on playing every game. We keep saying everyone's going to be our toughest. I mean, I thought Brighton's going to be tough, and before that, Villa's going to be tough. I mean, it's probably because you started off with Arsenal and beat them, but he actually reckons it's going to be our toughest game so far. Do you agree with him?
Probably. Although I thought Danny Rose plays for Watford, but, you know, I'll be corrected on that.
No, he's not.
I mean, they, you know, going through their team. You know,
sorry, you're right. You're sorry, Dave, you're right.
Ruben Neves, Raul Jimenez, you've got Jao Moutinho, you've got Dendonka. They got some incredible talent there. And each one, every game is going to be the toughest yet, I think, because every team is also finding their feet. It probably would have been better if we played Wolves when we played Crystal Palace or the game after, you know, the Aston Villa match, probably, because they were still struggling. At least they've scored now, and it's something that we need to be slightly more fearful of, is that at least they know that they can score. But you know, it will be what it will be. You know, if it's two defeats on the bounce, we'll have to adapt to that, because it won't be the only time that happens this season. It's something that we all have to stay calm about, I think.
Definitely. Yeah, sorry, I've written Rose and W, and I got my W's mixed up. Sorry.
You're looking at your to-do list for the weekend when you had to buy some flowers for the missus, was it? The Liberal. But anyway, look.
My 30th anniversary this week, yeah.
Okay, congratulations on that. So, we're talking about Wolverhampton Wanderers. I've got to just sort of flip off a little bit, because we're playing Oldham on Tuesday in the League Cup, as they call it. And is this a bit of an banana skin? I'm just wondering, if just quickly, do you think it might be a bit of a banana skin, Laney? Because we're going to talk about, maybe mention it a little bit on the Sunday, you know, maybe a little bit, we'll have an interview with an Oldham fan, but I'm just thinking, do you think that it's a banana skin, or is our total focus on Wolves?
Sorry, we've got everything to lose against Oldham. They're bottom of the Division 2, they're like hemorrhaging goals. We should win that just by walking on the pitch. We know that isn't the attitude, and it won't be the attitude that we adopt. So we mentioned it earlier, it is very important that we field the fringe players, but if we learn anything from the Forest Green Rovers, is that we do need to have some of the first teamers probably in there from the start. I'd in that game, I'd start stronger and then take them off, rather than the other way around. Let's win the game in the first half, and then let's experiment more in the second, I'd say.
So coming back to this Wolverhampton Wanderers match, Laney, give us a score prediction.
1-1.
Liberal Nick?
As long as Danny Rose isn't playing, 1-0 to Brentford.
Ooh! And I'm going to go with Laney. I'm going to go for one. I'm not allowed to go. Well, I can't go the same, can I? I'm going to go 2-2. I'm going to go 2-2. I'm going to go for a 2-2 draw for this one. So, listen, got that off our chest. This is the Besotted Pride of West London podcast. Thanks for supporting us on Ko-fi, besotted.com/beer. Don't forget to subscribe to us as well. Pride of West London. We've got the weekend review on Sunday. We'll have somebody else on with us on Sunday talking about the Wolves match as well. Podcast going to be next week on Wednesday, Thursday. We'll be doing that as well. So we've got all sorts coming on. We've got the Liverpool game. So I think we might have a little special as well. Not that other fans aren't special.
Never heard of them.
We've never heard of him. It's going to be a late kickoff on that one as well. We've also bought trains for Burnley. We've bought, you know, we're going to have a long drink up for Liverpool the following week. We'll talk about that in the week as well. But listen, other than that, I'm Billy Grant here, and I sit with Laney.
Good afternoon.
We've got the Liberal Nick.
Good afternoon, everybody.
It's all good. Like, we're looking forward to Wolves. We're going to go there. We'll early have a drink before the game.
Come on, you bees.
Toasters. I think they call them toasters, isn't it? Toasters.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter.
Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.